I trade freight services in association with Who1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Dr. Who podcast.
Hello, welcome to the 20 megabyte Dr. Who podcast, episode 255. I'm Adam, and can I go for a swim? And here's Mary Lang.
When the whispering starts, it's death, I tell you, death.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
They made me call you.
And she's back. It's Smarty Pants Debbie.
Despite the dramatics and hysterics of recent events, very little has changed.
Yeah, thank you very much. And this week...
You should read Pyrrho, my boy. He founded skepticism.
This week, we're returning to the Keys of Marinus, but in a slightly different aspect because this is in order of viewing. And... So I might as well get
they
straight on with
that. They didn't change the aspect ratio on the screen. It looks exactly the same as it did in 1964. Mm-hmm. You said a different aspect.
Anyway. What was I on about?
We're going to start it.
Yes, we're going to start it. Unless anybody's got anything to report, and we can always do that later on in the show. No? Okay, well, we'll start it then with The Sea of Death, episode one. This is going to be quite brief, by the way. I'm not going to go too
That's
deep.
All right.
So we have already done this. This is a major deja vu moment for some of us.
This was my first viewing of these.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Got obviously slightly different feeling for it when it starts up, because obviously with Ian dressed in his Marco Polo shirt, and of course having
Marco.
Just watched Marco Polo, it did give it that sort of... extra edge of continuity. Mm. The little models are.
I love the
cute,
little model.
They? Yeah, a nice little model of the. Although
Master?
The trouble was, the water is so still that it did look like a little model. Yes.
Master, this is the first time that we've seen the TARDIS materialize.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was a poorly done materialization, it's still the first time we've seen it from the outside materialize.
Wow. Well, I didn't notice that. Did you notice that, Debbie?
No, I did notice that.
You did notice that. But would we have seen the TARDIS materialise if Marco Polo still existed?
Insufficient data for meaningful response.
Anyway, so that was a bit terrible, wasn't it?
Isla was watching this bit with me when the little sort of submarines, one-man submarines, were coming. She's like, why are the pencils
the
coming?
Yeah, and coming what about the pieces water? Of string that's pulling them?
No, Master.
Oh, here we go.
I pointed this out last time. They
well, I do apologize.
There are no strings there. They're being moved by magnets underneath the set.
Well, you can see lines between the... Can't you, Debbie? I'll take it back a bit. But you can see...
There are lines.
Yeah, when they're coming across the water, the four of them, definitely being pulled. But then that one that comes, limps up to the end
that,
is definitely a magnet.
Thing, yeah. So, out they come. Susan fancies a swim. I think in some way she
it's
should have gone for
one. It's very lucky that Barbara bangs into her, isn't it?
Well, that's what she said.
And then some bloke in a scuba diving costume. I mean, some bloke... obviously some.
Well, it is a protective suit he's supposed to be wearing.
Oh, he's wearing,
yeah,
of course he
he's
is.
Wearing his
yes,
protective
he is.
Suit.
It didn't work for the one guy.
And actually, what they're doing in the first few moments of this episode is what they generally do.
Yeah.
This particular title is just go around and poke around everywhere, don't they? Look at this.
Let's
look
go and
this.
Have a look.
Yeah, and they do that even in Planet of Giants. And then there's usually a scene where Susan looks like she's scared to death and being hugged by
Barbara. Yes, she has hysterics.
She hasn't twisted her ankle yet.
Susan has hysterics about three or four times.
Yeah, Barbara has hysterics three or four times as well.
Yeah.
I try and take the lock out, didn't I? But that didn't happen.
Try and get in the TARDIS. I do like it.
I would have thought so. When they start poking around the submarines, there would have been some residual acid on it, which could have irritated their skin, because the doctor's actually touching it. And, she changes her shoes, doesn't she?
Ian's boots.
Yeah, that's right. But they're walking on this sort of sandy stuff, which would have been...
really hard on the feet, wouldn't it?
Well, also, it's acid, isn't it?
Yes,
and there would have been some sort of
residue.
Which could have...
And it's walking around in his stocking feet till they get back to the TARDIS.
Yeah. But I'm being a bit picky there.
I do like the use of the artwork.
And supposedly it's all glass, too.
Yeah, the
When Susan comes to the wall... And
shame when they move the camera. That's when it doesn't quite work.
You get a good boom shot at one point.
A boom mic.
Yeah, when Susan's gone in, you see the shadow of the boom and the camera behind it.
Well, you also see the guy who opens the door at the one point.
That's yes, right. Yeah.
It's quite funny where he does raise the blade and then he sort of flounders as he falls through the door. That's really quite good. This is a bit reminded me a little bit of when they went down to the Dalek city on Skaro.
Yes,
written by the same bloke. So, but it doesn't matter.
Nothing wrong with Terry Nation.
No.
Did I say there was anything wrong with Terry Nation?
Just very simple. Maybe they've got the same sets, but they've just dirtied them up a bit.
All right, this is quite possibly his worst script, but...
Be quiet, Kevin.
I must admit, I did spend almost the whole of this storyline... You're always reading double things into the later, the more modern episodes. You're always reading the fact that someone's actually saying something, but it's actually going to be really mean about it. But they weren't. They're just as they are all the way through. And I was half expecting someone to go against their word or just make it up. And it didn't happen. It was just, it was really odd to see that the time difference, obviously.
Vord raises his arm to stab, she grabs Susan, doesn't he? And he gets stabbed.
Yeah.
But how did he get stabbed?
Yeah, there's a solid wall behind him. Yeah.
How did he get stabbed?
Oh, no, if you look, if you watch, the monk, what's his name? He's Arbitan? Behind the Arbitan. He's behind him.
No, he's not.
Mm. Is he? Let's have a look at that then. There he is. Where's this monk?
Arbitan
is way down the hall. And there's a solid wall behind him, and you don't see the wall open.
Yeah. Oh, you do see Arbitan arrive, but after he's been stabbed.
Arbitan comes around the corner, sees the Vord attacking Susan, goes back round the corner, stabs the Vord, and comes back round.
You reckon?
Mm. Like Kirby says,
this is what it looks like.
You're convinced.
I'm convinced. I was absolutely
convinced. Anyone read the novel? right, so the other thing I got from this was how posh everybody is.
Oh, yes.
Every single actor, apart from the main ones, Theo newsreader posh.
Where we are, the proper received pronunciation.
Yes.
Every single actor. I mean, you can tell that which ones are single and which ones are married.
Badum ching.
It's not even worth me going over and doing that. I'm sorry. It's getting worse. It's worse than having blooming Keith Chegwin on the blooming podcast. So anyway, they all meet up eventually with Arbitan, who rather randomly decides to ask them to go around and collect a load of keys.
And then forces
and
the
find
issue,
his daughter.
Yes.
And yeah.
Yeah. I've put a force field around the TARDIS.
They say no, don't they? Go to the TARDIS and put a force field around the TARDIS.
Even with force field, they kind of keep stepping into it, so it's like...
I love the way he's there trying to punch it with the key.
And also, this is the first mention of a force field in Doctor Who.
And the fact that it's round so that there's no...
Again, something that happened before Star Trek. Star Trek nicked the idea from Doctor Who.
Master, Master, you said that last time.
Well, I apologise, but it's obviously true.
No, force fields, first of all, force fields have been around in science fiction for a long time, and... The most famous force field I think that the public had seen before this was the one in Forbidden Planet in the 50s.
Still did it before Star Trek.
I do like the idea of the fact it didn't have corners because there would be where the molecules would be at the weakest. I love that. That was great.
So anyway, Arbitan doesn't last very long.
To the end of the episode.
A very short contract.
Yeah.
So episode two, they've Barbara went on ahead, didn't she? And
I love the little sound effect of whoop when they go out.
When they
walk off the set.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, I was about to say, you see their shadows as they walk off the set.
Yeah, no.
But someone said that already.
I like it when you can hear the camera crew walking backwards and things like that. I do like that bit.
Okay.
Because there was one point where I was like, there's footsteps, someone's coming. And I was like, actually, no, that's the cameraman.
I'm walking backwards.
Of course,
Christmas.
Barbara's already arrived. And when the others arrive, they sort of got a bit of a headache to start off with. And then their heads clear and...
You'd be a bit suspicious about that alarm going off, but they get surprisingly blasé about it.
Yeah, but they're obviously thinking they've never travelled that way before, so it could have had some effect. Maybe the travel device they're using could have had some sort of effect on them.
That's
probably what they're considering.
And maybe part of it is that they don't remember that alarm and everything.
But Ian's so suspicious, and then they all go to sleep. That's what I didn't like, because if you're that suspicious, why isn't someone keeping watch?
Yeah. So anyway, what?
There's smoke sort of pouring out behind that statue.
Well, maybe someone's having a fag in there.
Probably.
So anyway, yeah.
It's the cocktail sticks that get me on that sumptuous little banquet that gets presented.
They're conned into thinking they're in some sort of...
Darn, I forgot to write down all the questions that so I could answer them all.
Be quiet.
And I love the way they put down that huge, looks like a turkey, yes. But with no way of, you know... cutting into it or eating it.
Yeah. But basically, they just tear at it.
They're conned into thinking they're in some sort of really sort of luxury, a bit Romany. But they're not. They're all been brainwashed. And something happens to Barbara.
They put grapes on their heads and it falls off Barbara.
She realises that it's a bit of a dump.
Yeah. It's the mug. I love the use of the mug several times in this as well. Dirty old mug.
Yes. And
they're talking to the camera, the three of them talking to the camera as though it's Barbara. Yeah. I like that.
And him, it's the posh person.
Altos.
Yeah, what's the matter with you? Do you like my wig? and then, of course, we see the brain sort of...
The brains
very posh
with,
brains.
The posh brains. I love the fact that I spent a while just sat there trying to place the voice of, you know, the brain, lead brain.
Ian McKellen?
No, and... I ended up telling Tom was watching, I think it was Walking Dead or something, and I was like, turn it off, listen. And we worked out that he played Elrond in the BBC adaptation of Lord of the Rings. So,
we're
very, very excited.
But again, an idea that was nicked by Star Trek, which I mentioned probably in the last version.
Are you speaking of Harren Kardec?
He was
Gandalf in...
Was he Gandalf?
Yeah.
No, he was Gandalf in the... Hobbit.
Gandalf
in the Hobbit, but he was also Elrond in... No, he was Gandalf, yeah, sorry.
Never mind. So, Barbara's
sort of... I got it wrong again.
The young girl has been naughty, isn't she? She failed to sort of brainwash...
She didn't get the grape on Barbara's head.
So she's got to be punished and...
She's got the key round her neck.
Yeah, sound, isn't it?
She's not that young.
She is.
How old is the actress?
Who cares? God's sake.
All through this, they're referring to Susan as young
Obviously
girl.
Obviously, she's not as young as Susan. 20s. She's still young. No, Susan was supposed to be 15.
Yes, yeah.
I'm going to have to have a word with him in a minute.
I love the eyes on the stalk.
Yeah, and also I liked Ian's possessed acting. So, she was really good.
My favourite bit, this whole scene of her confronting the brains is that she smashes everything up with a little tiny vase.
And the over voice acting.
Oh, yes.
But they started shouting before she'd even started
smashing it up.
Obviously they smash up Barbara saves the day by smashing up the brains, and they move on to the next section.
And Susan hears screaming. And she remembers
it
from somewhere. Whispers and noises and knocking.
I know, it doesn't sound at all like whispering.
Yeah, it sounded like screaming.
One bit it sounded a bit like the TARDIS sound. But
yeah, because even later when Barbara and Ian are in that shack and they're going, oh, it sounds like whispering. It's like, it does not.
No, it does not. It's screaming.
Sounds like screaming.
So anyway, they're in some sort of jungle thing.
It gets very
crystal maze,
doesn't it?
The mighty jungle.
And because Barbara goes for a wander, and Ian's sort of calling. Oh no, Susan's calling after, her, and she blankly ignores.
Yeah, she does. Yeah,
It was very rude of Barbara. What are you trying to teach
really?
Kids? And of course, she finds this idol thing. Where
I love the arms.
The human arm.
Great idea.
But there was an explanation for that. They couldn't afford. To make them anything less than just general human arms. But
what a great touch. I love that.
Well, the way they touch her ass.
Well, in camera rehearsals, the actor who's behind the idol kind of touched some places that he shouldn't have. So that's why they have her step up a little
higher.
Probably
Jimmy Saddle. Anyway, so but it's not. They think they've got the key, but it's not. It's a fake.
She works it out, doesn't she? Yes.
Yeah. And Barbara ends up.
I just can't get, because right at the end, Altos and Zabitha are like in love, and I'm trying to work out When did that actually start in this storyline? Because there's a couple of points where he's got hold of her, but it's like when did they? Was that before they were hypnotized?
Yeah, they're long enough to know who each other was.
Yeah.
So Barbara gets in and gets a net around her, and then the ceiling's coming down on her.
Indiana Jones blatantly lifted that.
Yeah.
This is a rubbish episode when it comes to trying to.
This chap here, wasn't he the doctor later on? Wasn't he like the doctor's doppelganger?
Yes, I think so.
Yes, it was. Yes,
in the chase, I think it was, wasn't it? But he's very posh as well. And he starts off, he's really horrible to Barbara, and then he gets grabbed by the throat some sort of plant. Yeah.
Help me.
But you see, actually looks like he's perfectly capable of wriggling out of that particular grabbing by the throat thing.
Of all the vine things, even when Barbara and Susan start getting the vines around their legs, I mean, they could easily lean over and pull them off.
And also,
and screamy.
And also, Ian manages to cut the vine by chopping it nowhere near it.
He doesn't even pretend to hit anything. He's just pulling back
the hit. The door with it. That'll do it. and for some reason, he sort of he faints a little bit. Then he's on the bed, and then he dies.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, did you notice in the one scene where the old man's laying down and starting to die, the camera pulls back and it runs into a bit of the scenery and jiggles.
Yes.
That's it.
We didn't mention the bit where you got the Black Knight from Holy Grail. Ian stands on a loose bit of stonework and it comes down with the axe. But when he walked in, I was just shouting, "None shall pass." Tom was like, "What's going on now?"
"None shall pass" thing. That reminds me of my two favourite.
Only a flesh wound.
My favourite standout things in movies is a bit bland as far as, but other people may not disagree with me. One is from, and I'm not keen on the Lord of the Rings thing, but I do love the bit where Gandalf goes, "You shall not pass." Mm. So I love that bit. And the bit in, I think it's Goblet of Fire, when Harry Potter's he's been trying to get round to saying Expecto Patronum correctly all the way through the story, and right at the end, when it's really needed, he goes, "Expecto Patronum," and all that sort of vroom, vroom, vroom. Those are my two favourite bits of movies for some reason. I just love them.
Where's the Death Star blowing up?
It's a brilliant story and a brilliant film, Goblet of Fire. I don't know if it's perhaps maybe the best of the Harry Potter films, actually. Anyway, moving back to Doctor
Ian
Who.
Ian has about a week and a half to get away from the hatchet of that knight.
Yes, oh yes. Yeah. You know,
it looks like, goodness, he just escaped, you know.
So anyway, they're Barbara and Ian are sort of trying to work out where they can find, because they've been given a clue on his deathbed the location of the key. Might have been just easier just to tell him.
Well, yeah, the thing is as well, they're reading the fact that he did experiments. I don't understand why they didn't come. Yeah, isn't he a science teacher?
Yes.
Yeah, you would have thought he would have kind of twigged.
Twigged.
Excellent. Thank you. I'm here all week.
Right. Anyway, yes.
Yeah, nasty, pesky vines.
Yeah, the nasty, pesky vines get in and attack Barbara, but obviously they manage to get the key and then turn their little doodies, and suddenly they suddenly in an extremely cold environment. And I know it's cold, but you wouldn't instantly start passing out through a hypothermia. It would take a bit longer than, unless you're actually on the moon or something like that.
And they get frostbite, but miraculously all right after rubbing very sensuously. It's just rubbing. Just, what a creep.
So anyway, so they pass out and get rescued by a bloke in a
by the Ghost of Christmas Present. Yes.
And for someone who's obviously a blatant pervert, you would have thought what he would have initially done is killed Ian and just sort of.
But he's a chicken, and, you know. Come the end of chicken. The episode, he's screaming and crying, and you know. So.
But yeah, he has stolen some things, hasn't he? And he's also got Altos and what's the woman called?
Zabitha.
Yeah.
Zabitha and Susan are up in a cave that he's left them there with.
Master.
Yes.
Master. There's a continuity error with the set dressing in this episode.
There is.
In the drawer where he's got all the travel dials and everything.
Mm. Yes.
and the keys.
Yes.
There's also the Doctor's ring.
Oh.
Because the Doctor was originally going to be in this particular episode, but yeah. Of course Hartnell went off on vacation.
Yeah.
the thing that Mr. Pervert was going to steal from him was his ring.
Yeah.
And so when they did the set dressing, it was specified, put this ring in the drawer.
Make me wonder a little bit when you're mentioning the word pervert and ring in the same
sentence. Oh, stop it.
Aww.
I love how the furs don't really do it. You know, he says there's hats and gloves over there, and he doesn't
put on any gloves.
Yeah, puts on a cloak that barely covers anything.
You've got Altas and his bare legs, and you've got Sabitha and, you know, upper body is...
Yes. Pretty bad.
Not really protected at all.
When Ian obviously has gone out, he was the one that's gone out. This is when he makes his move on Barbara. Yes. I'll have a cup of tea, please.
Could I have a cup of tea, please?
Yes. How do you have the tea?
Wife with one, please.
Wife with one sugar.
Thank you, Miss Bella. Is she coming in?
No. Oh. He makes his move on Barbara, but. I think the boys come back just in the nick of time, don't they?
And then they force Vassor?
To take them to the ice caves.
I love that, the plastic effect. Yeah. But it really does look, with the light shining on it, does look effective.
Yeah, blatantly. We know what it is, but
polystyrene
it's still...
Polystyrene covered
gives,
in saran wrap.
It gives enough of effect. The bridge was pathetic, wasn't it?
The effect is ruined when they touch the walls, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know.
But the little footbridge, which you could step across that bridge, which is quite funny. Yes?
Hello?
Can I have your cup, please?
My cup?
Yes.
There's my cup with its chip on it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Apparently Barbara realised it wasn't solid rock, it was solid ice. No, it wasn't. It was solid polythene. So old pervert sort of runs off and then he cuts the bridge.
Well, of course, you know, they get so excited about seeing each other again. You know, Ian completely forgets that the guy's probably going to do something.
Again, this scene reminded me of
The Daleks,
written by some bloke, which Kirby's going to get cross about. What's Star doing? Oh, she's trying to come in.
Star's come to join in and make nasty
leave the door
smells.
Open. Yes.
Hello,
she doesn't make nasty smells. It's the other one that makes nasty smells.
Terry Nation also, besides having similar scenes in many of his stories, he also has similar names.
Yeah.
Later on in the courtroom segment, there's the one... Chief of Security, Terron.
Yeah.
There's often a Terron or a Terant or...
Toronto. Sounds like a name of a dinosaur, Toronto.
Yeah. Oh,
no, it would be more of an elephant name, isn't it? Tantor.
Yeah. Yes. And then you've got more knights that say knee this time.
It's so funny.
Knights that say knee. Surrounding the block.
And the block of ice it has.
You would think that they would be more careful because you can see these guys moving.
Yes,
I know. Breathing.
And
why is there a convenient hot water handle there? They happen to use
it
the same sort of...
It gets warm really quickly as well. Buried deep in the bowels of the earth.
Yeah, but maybe it's warmed up by
it's
the...
It's quicker than my hot water
core.
In my house.
Now this thing with the key in block of ice, this has actually been, I'm pretty sure, a task on Big Brother many years ago was...
Was it?
They had to melt out something to do the task, so...
Well, you're the expert on watching Big Brother, so...
Yeah,
well,
show,
I was thinking
show.
Of Red Dwarf.
And that's just reminded me of the thing I posted on the website on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. That obviously Benedict Cumberbatch's wedding, which Maddie, friend of the show, many years ago from friend of the show, trying to get her to come back on the show and talk about it, though she might have been sworn to secrecy. She was in the catering team for that particular wedding. They don't know who Benedict Cumberbatch is. He played some crap program, Sherlock.
Sherlock is excellent. For some reason, Adam won't watch it.
And he also played Khan in a Star Trek movie. Very good in that.
Yeah,
he got married on the Isle of Wight on Saturday. And
you had Martin
Freeman
was there, Tom Hiddleston was there.
But there is a Doctor Who connection there, Kirby, because Sherlock is produced by some bloke called Stephen Moffat,
And Mark Gatiss.
Why are you telling me? Of course
because,
I know.
Because me posting it on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, seemed to fall on deaf ears on your part. Anyway, moving on.
What?
What?
Well, normally you make sort of some sort of sarcastic comment about the Isle of Wight, and all they had to do is step over the Solent to get here, and
just step over the puddle.
And
yeah.
I could have gone next door to go and get his autograph and have my picture taken with him or something like that.
I liked the post as soon as I saw it, and then I made the comment about who his father was.
This is why. Oh, yeah, my mum posted something to do with Wanda Ventham, but again, that's a Doctor Who connection.
Exactly.
But, I was hoping, persuade Maddie to come on the show and talk about it, because there must have been some Doctor Who actors actually at the wedding. It would be quite interesting to hear what she saw.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah.
But she's a teenager. She's slightly more agreeable teenager than my teenager. But
that Maddie, she remembers Maddie.
Yes. You did.
But I think the likelihood of persuading her to come on the show is very, very slim. What?
What?
Oh, lovely! What service?
It's very loud.
Where's mine?
Thank you.
That's just reminded me of Noel Edmonds' breakfast show on Radio 1, a bit before your time, when the milkman used to arrive. Flynn, I think, called him, but it was always Noel Edmonds pretending to be with him. He'd have a conversation with him. It was a regular...
What's going on with Star?
She's being pathetic. I think she wants you to pick her up and put her on your lap, but the trouble with that is you'll keep knocking the table. Back to the story. They're in these caves.
It's mitching, and I'm just wondering why.
Like you say, but there was a hot water, and they're the Knights of... they have these they're sort of ice stalagmites, mites, whatever.
Giant icicles.
Yes, which they're going to climb across and turn
but
into a bridge.
They're not iced up yet.
No, but even though they can actually just step across it.
They could do the jump.
Yeah. I think I'm scared of heights, but I think I would be able to manage to step across that particular...
And poor old Vassor is like scared to death of the fact they've brought back the...
the knights as they need.
So
they find the travel dials, fortunately, because he's nicked them. He's nicked everything. They get everything back off
him. Got the keys. There you go.
And he gets stabbed in the back by one of the knights. And they move on to the next area where...
You can actually see where he got stabbed
in that particular one.
In the back. Yeah,
that one didn't bother me. You could see it. You could see the sword coming through the door.
So anyway, they move on to the next section. Well, Ian does at least.
It's quite nice the way it goes from being sort of out in the middle of nowhere to almost ultra modern, being in a vault. Mm, I quite like that effect because you've gone almost.
And it's very convenient for the actual murderer that Ian would just happen to turn up, so they could blame him for the murder.
Oh, that's handy.
And of course, he gets coshed over the head, and the.
I'd already solved it by the time he got up.
I don't know how it wasn't him, because he was the only person that was there.
I'm the interrogator. Hello.
I do. This is probably the best of the episodes, because obviously it's a bit of a mystery. And This rather illustrates how I feel about what's happened at work. I'm completely innocent, yet they're all, apart from obviously my friends at work, the lying buggers who've accused me are quite...
Yummy.
They're just very determined in pushing this forward.
The fact that the law is that you're guilty and
until
you can prove
innocent.
Without
Yeah, well, that
a
seems
doubt,
the case
yeah.
with that idiot family at work. And, of course, a doctor coming. Ideal position for him to be the defence lawyer.
A dramatic entrance. I love
clearly
that.
Clearly relishes playing the part. Yeah.
And he does so well in this, apparently, because he had just taken 2 weeks off. And he had a chance to rehearse and memorize his lines.
Yeah. Still,
there's one line. By the way, there's one line where he stumbles, but it's not a mistake. It's in the official script that the stumbling over the words.
But he does
and
that anyway, so it's really hard.
Right. It's not. And the interesting thing is, there's those script transcripts out there. It's not. In there, whoever did those transcripts didn't have the stumble, but the info text is clear that the the stumble was in the original script.
Okay. Is this the I can't improve?
Yes.
Yeah.
Brilliant. That's interesting. Thank you for that. I never knew that.
I can't prove it.
Yeah. I like the three Russian Orthodox Jew judges. Nodding away.
Yes, Kirby.
They have all this business where you've got this the super modern telephones that they didn't.
Oh, they're nice. Yeah.
They didn't instruct all the actors in how to hold them properly, but. I noticed this time around, back in the room where the key was in the glass case, they've got a normal telephone instead of the super modern one.
Yes, yeah.
So anyway, there's a that's.
They find out that it's Eprin who was murdered, don't they?
Yeah. You can really sort of, even though this is the best episode, you can gloss through it. They basically, this is a bit like an episode of Death in Paradise. You eventually find out. At the end, who's
she was so suspicious anyway.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. This is she was obviously in Silver Nemesis. Yes. This woman. Oh, you recognise her? And obviously,
Be sure you know that because it's one of the questions later.
Oh, shut up. So, and again, they're all very, very posh. But there was how did they solve it in the end? It was something really clever right at the end, wasn't it? That they worked out that somebody. Couldn't have known that Susan was there.
Yeah, right. Carla or whatever her name is.
Yes, so it's clearly we're lying. And
Carla said, well, isn't it a pity? And they were like, well, no one would have known that.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
And then they hide the dark Ian's waiting for...
I love all the hiding in this storyline.
To come in and fetch the mace.
That reminded me of one of the Sherlock Holmes stories where they're waiting in the vault of a... bank.
Sherlock Holmes or just Sherlock?
Sherlock Holmes. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking Jeremy Brett here.
Yeah.
Ah, those were so great.
Yeah. There's one, I think it's the Ginger something or that, I can't remember, where they basically here there's a bookstore and then they dig through it to the bank vault and they come up through them.
I need to watch those again. I've got them all on DVD, but it's been years and years since I've watched them.
Oh, no, they're always worth a watch. They're my go-to if I can't think of anything.
So anyway, the last episode sees Ian get off with his accusation and they go back to... Marinus, isn't it? And
I like the use of the mace because it's like you look suddenly focusing on the mace. Yeah. It's like, oh, has that got something to do with it then? And then Varak or whatever his name is.
Chief Vord is a very evil person.
Dressed exactly the same as.
just with the hood.
And they can't tell that he's got this big headpiece on.
Can't show the change in voice as well. It's suddenly gone from being posh to having a completely different voice.
Then you've got Altos and Zabitha declaring their love for each other as well. It's like,
and then there's a shot, of course, of him falling down into the acid sea. And that's about it, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's it. And then the TARDIS dematerialises. Yeah, very nice.
Right then, so I'll start then. Obviously, I don't know how many times I've watched this story. And I've always, even though it's got lots of flaws, it has got lots of flaws, and you can pick out and take the mickey out of various aspects of it. But I really like it simply because of the way each episode is a story within itself. And I just thoroughly enjoy it. It's not drawn out at all. It's six episodes. Because they're, little stories within the big story, it works for me. It doesn't drag. Mm. And I probably said that last time, Kirby, but I really like Keys and Marinus. It's probably one of my favourite Hartnell stories. Like I say, I can see its flaws, but I love it. Go on then, Kirby. Have another go at it. This will be interesting to think, because you didn't like it last time. I don't think you're going to like it this time.
You might do.
Go on then.
You're correct that a year and a half ago, I was very negative about this story. However,
there you go.
Having just watched it through again, it has improved.
Good.
It's still not one of my favorites, but it's not down at the bottom of the list. Remember when we were going through a couple of months ago and giving our rankings?
Yeah.
And I think I was putting Keys of Marinus at the bottom. It's a lot better. It's actually compelling. The fifth episode was really good. The second episode is good, even with the stupid looking brains, and the courtroom episode is good. And I remember practically falling asleep, and I was even commenting jokingly 2 days ago and last night about getting ready to watch the fifth episode, and I was going. But then when I actually watched it, it was very good. So
amazing. Hang on, so, that's got to be worth.
You were correct.
I was correct. What, that you wouldn't like it? I said you wouldn't like it.
No, that it is good.
Yes. So.
So.
Oh. Right then, Mary.
Well, Kirby says I really liked it the last time we listened to it, and I can see why I did, because even as you said, Adam, each one is a story in itself, and I was just caught up in each little story as it went along. But this time through, maybe because I was so aware of how flawed it is, you know, that's all that spoke to me, where, oh, this fluff, and oh, that problem, and oh, this scene thing, and oh, this is not believable. So I was very bored this time through. I had a really hard time sticking with each episode, and I never did get around to watching the last one.
That's not the way you're supposed to play it. Now, I'm telling you, Mary, before we get on to the next story, you must watch that last episode, because the whole idea is you've got to watch every single episode. Sorry, you're not going to get out of it.
Yes, sir, yes, sir. But the thing is, I can admire that Terry Nation was pushing them to do so much. I mean, with every story requiring a whole different, you know, kind of world with various sets. I know it exhausted the scene designers and builders. You know, they hated this story because of all that they had to come up with. But, it did push the envelope for Doctor Who, and that aspect of it, I think, is really good. But no, I had a really hard time sticking with it this time.
Yes, well, your punishment is to watch episode 6. Okay. Right. Okay. Debbie.
This is my first time. This is my first time watching this.
Ian Kirk audio just arrived.
Oh, okay, cool. And I didn't have. I sat down and watched it sort of episode by episode over a couple of nights and just watched it like that, and it held my attention all the way through that. And then I did it again yesterday and watched them all, because I had a bad night with Isla, so I thought, fine, I'll watch the whole of the Keys of Marathons. Exactly, with everything.
Really? I thought about doing that.
And
actually,
I just was like, fine, I'll watch the rest of it. And it held me then, even though I was watching it one after the other, because they were separate individual stories. Obviously, the one goal throughout, get the key, you know, get the code key, get back. But it was just so nice to see different aspects, them interacting with different people in each episode, and just, obviously, they always gather in Doctor Who, they always gather more people to travel along with them to the end of the story, and then they say goodbye, and then sometimes you'll meet them again. But in these earlier episodes, in the very beginning, you say goodbye and that's it. You don't know that they're going to come back for the grand finale at the end, you know. But I was saying right at the very beginning that I'm suspicious of everybody, because the way they're written now for modern times, everybody's got an ulterior motive. Mm. There's something else. But in this, the way this is written, they are nice. They're a nice person. They're a bad person. Mm. They're a nice person.
Yeah.
And it's just a little bit more black and white than the grey area. And I quite like that, because it's very classic Who, and I just really enjoyed it. So. Mm.
So most of us liked it, really, didn't we?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
It's one of the reasons that I love The Chase so much. I know we haven't come to that yet, but again, it's a Terry Nation story. But because it's each episode of
is there
in The Chase.
Is there a chasm that they jump across in The Chase? Is there
probably
a character named
Have you not
Taran,
watched it yet?
Terrence?
Have you
no.
Not? Good, well, we'll find out when we come watch it in a few months.
But it all seems so anticlimactic. I mean, they go through all of this just to get keys that ends up just blowing up the machine.
That was quite a fast end.
You mentioned the crystal maze earlier.
Yeah, it was
a
crystal
maze. Especially the like. Yeah.
You get all
the
crystals,
the
and then you go and put them all into this thing, and then you go and jump around in a thing gathering pound notes.
So we generally quite liked it on that one, I think. Mm-hmm. So well done, Mr. Nation.
Mm-hmm.
On that one. And it's also interesting to see Terry Nation writing non-Dalek stories. He only did two.
That's true.
Okay, let's have a look, see if we can find some feedback.
I'm sorry, I missed speaking to Andy last week.
Yes, before we move on to feedback, last week, you definitely watched
Marco Polo.
Yes, he did. So, can you please tell us Go back, obviously, backtracking slightly. What do you thought of Paco Molo?
Go in the Wayback Machine.
You're going the timey-wimey machine. I found it, you know, I was very interested because I've watched it, mm-hmm. as in listening to it and watching on Daily Motion. They had all the images and the stills.
I watched some of it on Daily Motion when I finally discovered it was on there.
But my problem was that every time I paused it to maybe make a note or go back, it would just shut me straight out to the beginning. So I spent literally a week trying to watch Marco Polo. So I lost a lot of the enjoyment that I would have had.
Can I suggest something? Yep. Get Apple TV.
I will do. No, that is our next big thing.
They're very cheap, and Daily Motion works very easily on it.
Oh, good, because that was because obviously watching Keys of Marinus, it was fine. But
don't buy Apple products.
You can just click.
I reckon if you're looking at the value for money.
I kept trying to put it back on to where I'd got to, you know, running it forward to where I was, and it just wouldn't play. And then so I lost a lot of the enjoyment because I was really enjoying the way it was going and the story, and I loved all the little accounts and the stories.
I just found them on YouTube and downloaded them.
That's a good thing again about Apple TV because I didn't realise Daily Motion was on it until I sort of stumbled across it.
I'm a show for Apple.
And honestly, I know Apple do some very highly expensive products, but Apple TV is less than £100. What would that be in dollars? Less than $200?
Less than $200.
Probably a lot less in America because it's the home nation.
Yeah, but don't you need Apple products to use it?
No, you don't. Well, no, you do. Not really. No, you don't. You just need to be able to log on to an internet system. So
I have a Samsung TV and my Apple TV thing works on it just fine.
It does work extremely well if you can, if you have got an Apple computer, because you can just, it'll just stream films from the computer by Bluetooth, isn't it? But if you haven't, you can just stream stuff, if you've got a fast enough internet connection, you can just stream stuff straight from the TV itself, from the Apple TV, that is.
I don't get Daily Motion on my Apple TV.
You don't? Oh, no? Well, aren't I lucky then? Get YouTube and Daily Motion, so it's easy.
I'm going to watch it again then because I was really enjoying it up until the Daily Motion release. Yes, it was as well. So it was really nice to see all the sets.
Yeah,
and everything.
I'd watch it.
I really
again.
Enjoyed it. And I love the fact that the TARDIS was referred to as a caravan. I thought that was just brilliant. I want to watch it. I will find it now. I'll go on YouTube and find it that way. But I tend to go straight to Daily Motion or DVDs.
On the Apple TV.
On my Apple TV when I get it. I'm going to buy a new kettle first. Buy a new kettle first is more important.
Yes, Kirby.
Yeah, speaking of, someone just said TARDIS. I think Debbie just said TARDIS. In these early Hartnell stories, it's always weird to hear them refer to the TARDIS, not with the V. It's always, we're going back to TARDIS.
Yes.
Or, how's TARDIS?
Because it becomes a character, doesn't it? Because at the beginning, it's not. It sort of just moves the story.
It really
along,
becomes a character in Edge of Destruction.
Yeah, just sort of starts becoming the TARDIS. Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. It's time for some feedback from some bloke that was on the show last week.
Well, good afternoon, 20 Megabyte. It's Andy in here. It's 1:36 on Sunday, the 1st of February. White Rabbits. I'm sitting here with a mug of tea. Yes, I know it's not January anymore, but I'm not going to start drinking till 8 o'clock on Friday night. Not looking forward to it, of course, but I really am. Anyway, I know because of the delay, because of poor Adam, hope you're better now, delay in recording, you're not doing the Keys of Mariners this week, but since I've sat and watched it all, I thought I might as well do my bit on it, and I have actually made some notes if I can read my appalling scrawl, because my writing is absolutely boring awful. Anyway, I sat and watched it, and it's watching it on the Daily Motion and some of it on an old disc I copied off UK Gold. Now what I liked was the beginning, the Blue Peter submarines, straight up washing up liquid bottles, weren't they? Yes, of course they were as well. Susan, she was going to go jump in the pool. Well, she'd been jumping about, so she would have been gone acid dancing. Notice the TARDIS looked rather battered, didn't it? You know, when the board came and looked at it. And also, it did wobble a bit as well. You know, he pushed the door and you could see a distinct wobble there as well. And I liked at the end when they came back to the TARDIS and couldn't get in after the Arbiter had let Arbiter. And he's real Marceau, wasn't it? You know, the miming, you know, all he needed is the white gloves and, something like that. But I thought it was quite interesting. And now, yes, this interesting one. When Barbara went off in this beginning of episode 2, she says, "Ian, Susan, I'm glad you're here. not the Doctor. Didn't you want to see the Doctor? Not glad you're here, you know. Yeah, that's it. I like the feast as well. Yes, the straight back to the old medium 1970s bad taste. Because there was cheese and parliament sticks, I'm sure.
Yes, there was. Yeah, there
you
was.
Know, that's
yeah.
All it really was a Black Forest gatto and the bottle of Blue Nun. You'd have been straight into Abigail's party, wouldn't you? Which is rather good. Interesting, they this luxury thing, and they all slept in the same room. And also, they all kept the clothes on. You know, they didn't have a change of clothes or anything like that. No, they all the same clothes. So they've been the same clothes for like 24 felt, hours. Yeah. They're going to niff a bit, aren't they, by then? yeah. And you got the eyes at the back of the room. It's straight out of Malice, that was, wasn't it? Straight out of the Awakening. That's what I thought, anyway. That's the way in my mind. And there's Barbara lying down. It's a nice cleavage shot there, wasn't there? Yes. Well, anyway. Yeah. And the Masters, you know, when you went in to the Masters. Were they straight out of... Who remembers Trapdoor? Go on.
Me.
Who remembers Trapdoor?
Don't you want
they were
blimmin'
easy to kill, weren't they? But, yeah. Pathetic,
oh, yeah.
Really.
You're a fool.
Then we got on to they're going out, they're looking for them. They've accepted Arbison, beg your pardon, accepted Arbison's offer. They've gone up here. And they meet Athos, and God, what a trip he really is. You know, how that young lady's blonde young lady want to stick with him, but by God, he was wet. And we saw the Malice again as well. Now, where did Sabitha hide the key? And I was wondering, and we found it in a chain, but yeah, where was that chain going? It was around her neck, and moving swiftly on. But yeah, it was. You know, then after that, you had the trial scene, which was it was a bit obvious what was happening, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was good.
I did think that it was fairly clear that he was going to be involved, and that who the original killer would be, and also that the wife was involved. It's sorry, I think you know, it just was a bit too obvious for me. I thought the Snows bit was good, with the monsters coming and getting it, and their so-called hero was going to sell them down the river, basically. What was he going to do with her keys? I mean, that's it. You know, he saw the valuable travel dials. I mean, he said the valuable. What on earth was he going to do with them? And he didn't really think that one through.
Sell them on eBay, yeah.
But, yeah. I suppose everyone has their motives. Everyone has their aspirations. And he's supposed to make money out of probably what's a nice bit of jewellery. There was a great line. We had Fawlty Towers preempted, didn't we? I know nothing! You know, it wasn't quite a Spanish accent, but...
no, nothing.
Yeah, that did make me chuckle a bit, didn't it? So all in all, it's six episodes. I think there was a fair bit of padding in the middle. I mean, the first episode was quite good. And I thought the last one, the way it built up to in the trial, wasn't too bad. But in the middle, it just was... Yeah, you have the Snows episode. You have the episode with the screaming jungle taking over. Yeah, I think that really could have been shrunk down to a four-parter. You know, it's not bad, really. But can't think it's the best one ever. I just wonder, you know, what did happen to them in the end with Sabitha and Athos, and how did they go on with it after what they'd done? I do wonder about that. And of course, it went away. Was this not just a precursor to the Keys of Time? I think
the principle was very similar.
I wonder if that's perhaps where they got the idea from for the Tom Baker complete series for the
Keys
of Time.
Done.
Anyway, that's my thought. So anyway, that's me done. So I'm going to go out and have a wander around, stomp around, and. Still not drinking, but until next time, it's probably 2 weeks, I'm guessing. Be seeing you.
Thank you, Andy. And hopefully you'll be on the show live next time. It depends whether it's on Sunday or not. And interestingly, you mentioned the key to time, because you've got the key to time now, Debbie, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah,
but it's also pretty anticlimactic.
It's right here. Look, there you go.
I gave her one copy of the key to time. Yes. Right, got some more feedback, by the way. It's only just arrived.
Thank you for my Christmas present.
Your Christmas present? What's going on with this thing? Why is it not playing? Oh, there we go. Yes, only just arrived.
Hello, 20 Mugbat Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. Ah, Mr. Shakespeare. Can I call you Bill? William, then. Our people have read your script, The Hamlet, and they're quite excited about it. We would want changes, though. Our legal team feel it is a bit too close to Game of Thrones. We like it rewritten to make the young woman the main character. We would like to commission a 12-part TV series from you, called Ophelia, and starring Sophie Grable. The Keys of Marinus by Terry Nation. The Hartnell era was a product of its time. For instance, when they go to the moon, it is in silver jumpsuits and rubber boots. Last year's moon episode looked like it was filmed on the moon. In Hartnell's day, TV shows seemed to have been more like a stage show performed for the camera. The small TV studio means that, for instance, the TARDIS crew suddenly notice the submarine, which is only a few feet away from the actors. More than once in the story, people hide and they're not seen by people a couple of yards away. 15-year-old Susan is shown very much as a child. This was the early 60s. When people talk about the 60s, they generally mean 1968 and 69, when a lot of things changed and society was less restrained. Since we are going through the stories in order, it might be worth looking for any signs of Susan becoming more mature.
50-year-old
spoiler. A year later, the Doctor suddenly decides Susan is old enough to leave the TARDIS and settle down in a post-disaster future Earth with a young man she has just met. If a year has passed for her, she will be 16. Old enough to get married in the UK, they're not for most Americans.
But was it then?
No, it wasn't, I don't think.
It could be argued that she is older, as it could have been longer for the characters on the show. Barbara gives a lecture on pyramid building in Egypt and South America to educate the TV audience.
Yes.
Having to search for several scattered objects is a common idea in modern adventures, but it might have been new then. The crew arrive in a city where they are deluded into thinking everything is perfect, when it is actually terrible. It is a good thing Susan did not put on her new dress, as it was barely there. When Barbara, and then Ian, climbed on that statue, it held their legs. They're both quite tall. If Susan had tried it, it would have grabbed her bum. The travel bracelets look like an early version of Jack Harkness's time travel wrist device. Mm-hmm. But he does not have to stand in front of a dark background to use his. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. And Ian is actually
Captain.
This is very interesting. He's only just arrived again. So what has so provided us with his original review of Keys of Mariners?
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. The Keys of Mariners by Terry Nation. When the first two episodes were broadcast in April 1964, there were only two broadcast network channels in Britain, BBC and ITV. By episode 3, there was a new channel, BBC Two, but it was on UHF, so you needed a new TV aerial to see it. At the beginning, Susan's shoe falls into the seawater of Marinus and is marinated. Why did they not smell the acid?
Yeah.
The novelisation makes it clear that the Vood are as humanoid as the rest of the planet's people. They wear those helmets to protect them from the mind control machine, even though it's switched off. You can't be too careful where mind control machines are concerned, an idea that has since become popular with conspiracy theorists. Vazor, the wolf killer, is played by an actor called Francis DeWolf. Reminds me of Bluto from the Popeye cartoons. I don't see why he would prefer Barbara to Sabitha as his olive oil. He must have been on that mountain too long. Susan crosses a bridge made of icicles tied together. They don't look much like icicles. Susan looks scared. On the commentary, Carol Ann Ford says she really was scared because she'd fallen off in a previous take. In episode 5, we have CSI Marinus, where a Time Lord takes part in a trial. That idea got reused a few years later. One of the judges has the least convincing beard ever. The legal system is guilty until proven guilty. I suppose those travel dials had to be left behind at the end of the story, or they would have been very useful later.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps they only work on Marinus. You have to stand in front of a black background to use them.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, the Vood leader disguises himself as Arbitan. I think Terry Nation pinched that from Little Red Riding Hood. The whodunit is a bit contrived. There has to be a suitable murder weapon in the museum. It has to be capable of containing the key. I have a password manager program, and I accidentally deleted the entry for Facebook and could not remember my password. As part of the identity verification process, Facebook asked me for the name of one of my Facebook friends. I typed Adam Pearson. He said, that name is too common. Try another. I typed Merry Blitz Line, and that was accepted. Happy now.
Ian just mentioned that the travel braces would have been nice if they had taken them with them. They did take them with them. If you watch, they all get into the TARDIS, and they are all wearing their travel bracelets.
That's marvellous, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for that, Kirby. I've got some fairly good news for you.
Mm.
I can't find any questions on my iPad for this particular episode.
So you have to go back and do the other questions from the last time.
I always have an emergency backup plan in those instances. But while I sort out my emergency backup plan, Kirby, I asked you earlier on if you'd like to mention something for me.
Oh, yes. We lost a friend of the show a few weeks ago, Hiram Lester, who we had on the show when we last did the Concerberus live broadcast, passed away of a heart attack on January 28th. He was a big fan in Alabama and was the head of, I believe, the Birmingham, Alabama Doctor Who group. I forget what the name was. And I met him at this past Concerberus. He was a nice guy and just kind of shocking.
Mm.
Mary, you met him too.
Yes, I did, and really enjoyed it. You and Hiram and myself went out to dinner together.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and where he told us all about his wife's, and therefore his own involvement, in the Jane Austen Society.
Right.
Which I found very interesting. Because we think that the Doctor Who, you know, with all of our costumes and that, are, you know, kind of a deviation from the norm. But apparently the Jane Austen Society goes even farther, where they even rent what is it when you have like a convention place, they actually hold theirs in a big antebellum mansions. And so that, and they all dress up, and I thought, okay, you know, well,
everything lit by candlelight. Yes. Yeah. The mores and mannerisms. Yes.
Yeah. But, Hiram was delightful to talk with, and, I really enjoyed him. I was looking forward to seeing him this next Concerberus, but, I guess that won't happen.
I remember talking to him when we did the podcast. He was really great.
Yeah. It was lovely to have somebody that was such a big fan on and was prepared to talk to us. And it was quite a shock to obviously thoughts go out to his family and friends. And of course, it's a loss to us because we've only got three listeners now.
No, oh, yeah.
Bless. So, thank you, Kirby. So, to lighten the mood,
Master, speaking of live broadcast,
yes,
everyone be sure to pencil in that on March 15th, I have scheduled us for a live podcast from Con GT.
Right, so that's
Sunday,
Sunday the 15th of
March.
Sunday the 15th, March. Mother's Day. Right, live Concerberus.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What sort of time are you in? Con GT. It's Con GT.
Con GT.
Yeah. Let me bring up the schedule.
What time?
Yeah, give me a second.
I haven't got a second. You've got
podcasting live at Con GT.
Well, you don't have any questions. So you've got a lot of time.
Yeah. He's got out the Trivial Pursuit.
I've got questions, actually. I've got my backup plan. Don't give my admin going away. I could have made out that
here's the Con GT schedule. But give it a chance to load from the internet. No. Okay.
His voice is going to start going funny in a minute if he's using the internet.
I know.
Do you believe?
And we will be having Ellis George on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've got it scheduled for 1:30 in the afternoon, so that's...
Clocks won't have gone forward by then.
6:30 in the evening for you. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's right. Fine for me.
I can make it okay. I'll finish working.
Has there been a time change in there somewhere? Did we get a clock in there?
You can probably come around here for that one, Debbie, because it's early enough that Isabella...
Oh, I'm sorry. What? I'm sorry. That's Central Time.
What?
So what is that?
I don't know.
How many hours are we behind? Ahead, sorry.
That would make it
7:30.
You can't come around for that one then.
No, I'll have to do it from home.
Yeah, so what about the podcast? Right, okay, I'll put on the thing.
Live Conjeeting. Yep.
See, this is a good thing about Apple products, because I've entered that in on my iCal on the Mac. That'll now appear on my phone and my iPads.
I've written it in my diary. There you go. Yeah.
Well, it's in my Google Calendar.
Is that good?
And my question is, have either the States or Britain gone through a time change like daylight savings by then?
Last Sunday in March.
Yeah, there we go. 29th of March.
Yeah.
Yeah, clocks forward 1 hour UK.
Yeah, so that's terrible for me. I'll tell you why. Because if you look at the 29th of March...
I've
got a party to do on the 28th of March, which is a 60th birthday party, which I've been roped into being the DJ for.
Really?
And photographer. Okay. So DJing and photographer.
You've
got
to play Doctor in the TARDIS.
No, well, okay, we're going to have to strike up some sort of playlist for that. But yeah, so that's going to be a late night. And then I get... an hour's less sleep, and then I've got work the next day.
Aww.
Unless, of course, they were lucky enough they closed the shop for a refit or something like that at that particular time. Anyway,
there's the usual confusion we have, because I'm sure we don't change time that same weekend. Let me see when we change.
My calendar, our time changes on March the 8th, which is the Sunday previous.
Oh, well, that's going to confuse things.
Daylight saving time begins USA, Canada. There you go. Yeah.
Oh, dear. So we're going to have, 3 weeks?
Do they go forward?
Out of sync?
Do they go forward, the all clocks, on the 8th of March?
Yes.
Yeah.
So therefore, how does that affect the following week?
Make it 5 hours difference.
Yeah.
So does that make it 6:30 again?
Yeah.
I've crossed that out three times.
It would make it 6:30.
Absolutely typical, isn't it? So you can come round then, Debbie.
Yeah,
we're going to have to test this out. Before we actually do this thing, a couple of days after your clock changes, we'll have to send some messages to each other just to confirm what blooming time it is.
We'd also better have some questions prepared. I'm supposed to be going to a Comic-Con in Bournemouth.
Oh,
I know. But Sylvester McCoy is there, so I'm going to go and apologise for
having
any
games. Do you want to borrow one of my onesies?
I was going to wear the T-shirt, but no, I'll wear
a T-shirt. Wear a T-shirt. That's much better.
No, I'm going to
Sylvester's
go down to the
a lot
con.
Of fun.
No, I want to apologise to him for not having anything
it's
to say.
It's the co-founder of the show.
He probably won't remember anyway.
She's not going to say anything, though. I'm a poet and I didn't know it.
So,
bye.
So how much does it cost to even say hello to?
Well, it's going to cost, the tickets are only 15 quid, but it'll probably be 15 quid for us. It's at the end of August, down in Brighton.
I don't
know what day it is. I've got a ride in
Brighton?
Car.
That's not far away.
Not Brighton, Bournemouth, sorry.
Your mind up. There's a lot of difference between Brighton and Bournemouth.
I got a friend of mine who's going down there anyway, and he said, do you want to ride down?
What date?
I can't remember.
Well, that's no help.
It's the end of August is all I was given, so I will go and find out and endeavour to put it on Facebook.
That would be helpful, because I might try and persuade She Who Must Be Obeyed to see if I can actually go to that, because it's not far away.
Yeah, it's not that far from us this time, so yeah, I'll be able to go and say hi to a few people and pay lots of money to stand with people and have eager-looking photos.
Cool. That sounds like heaven to me. Talking about conventions, I know Alistair, who's it's lovely to see him looking happier. He's been a bit grumpy recently, and doesn't listen to the show, so I can get away with that. But he's gone to a convention recently, and he had his picture taken with Tom Baker, and he looks so happy, and it's just lovely to see him beaming. It's a lovely photo as well. I don't know if you've seen it, of him and Tom Baker. Basically, it's Alistair's scarf, and he's wrapped it around Tom Baker's neck, and that's a lovely photo. And he's obviously another friend of his that keeps posting pictures of Alistair when he was one of the stars at conventions from the 80s. And there's a lovely shot of Alistair signing something sat next to Elizabeth Sladen. So there's some very interesting films. Some Ethan, I think.
That con that I was going to go to last year that got cancelled, that's on again this year. Then is it the Middlesbrough one?
I'd be a bit worried about getting the tickets for a convention that had already been
cancelled. It got cancelled last year, but hopefully it's all right this year.
I think I've just made sure this bloke's called Ethan, friend of Alistair. I did send him a friend.
Ethan Hawke?
Ethan Hawke. Ethan Phillips used to be in Star Trek Voyager.
The same weekend as Con GT, they're having a Comic-Con just an hour and a half away from me.
Ethan Brown.
Where the featured guests are Jenna Coleman and Carrie Fisher from Star Wars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to deliberately mention Ethan Brown so I can send him a message saying he got mentioned on the 20 Megabyte
Got name checked.
Podcast, and then he can listen to the show. So, hello, Ethan. Oh, they're great pictures that he's posted. Look at that one. I don't know if Alistair would particularly like that one. Oh, God, Deb's running through.
Hi, come on in.
I didn't hear the doorbell go.
I'm just starting Jack.
Yeah, so it's great. For, oh, that's the one he's probably talking about, him sat next to Elizabeth Slade, and he looks... rather sadly, quite well. Yeah, so that's on. We have to be friends with Alistair Pearson to actually benefit from that particular thing. But yeah, I wish I could share those on the 20 Megabyte page, but I can't.
Adam, can you repost that one picture of Alistair with Tom Baker?
I don't know if he'll allow me to do it, but I will try because it's not. It's one of Ethan Brown's pictures, not mine, you see.
Yeah. Okay.
I think. Might be Ali's. Oh, it's right, Alistair. Right, let's see. She must be on here somewhere. I'll see if I can get that. I can see. I think he's a member of the 20 Megabyte group. Oh, dear. Doesn't it appear to be anything here?
Oh, dear. Never.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Right. No, look. See, Ethan Brown added new photo to Alistair Pearson's timeline.
That's really cool.
So I won't be allowed to share it, I don't think.
Tom Baker's
no,
amazing.
No, hasn't got a share option, I don't think. I'll try.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
I'll have a go.
It's
a
two-way
group. It'll probably say, it says some people may not be able to see this attachment because of its privacy settings, so I won't bother. Yes. we'll work on that one for a future event.
When I was trying to post the pictures of my stuff from Walgreens, I wish I'd had warnings like that because it turned out that a lot of people couldn't see the picture that was originally posted on Instagram. Mm. And I had lots of complaints. I had
pain,
to go through and...
There's a way around it. Copy the picture to your desktop and then...
Yeah, that's what I ended up doing.
But
yeah.
If somebody's set privacy settings to stop that from happening, I don't do that because I think it's, you know, it's a...
Nine times out of ten, you won't be able to see it. Yeah.
No, it's just invasion of privacy.
That I repost comes with that warning and I post it anyway and usually people get it.
Well, I'll send a message saying if it's all right for me to post that on the 20 Megabyte page. And if he says yes, one, he'll be aware of the show and two, we'll be able to see the picture. Well, right then. Yes?
Nothing.
Oh, good. Right, it's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
Did you find the question?
Debbie will.
I won't.
And if you want to see questions on the Keys of Marinus, listen to the previous review.
Dang it!
It's rather, in some ways, it's quite fortunate because it rather scuppered Kirby's attempts to win by virtual default. But no, this is a Doctor Who.
No, I was expecting
well,
you
this
to.
This is where I'll fail then.
Come up with new.
You reckon?
Questions.
Do you? Well, these are random in some sort of way. And we're starting with Kirby. The first question is: what is Jackson Lake's profession before he begins to think he is the Doctor?
Oh,
what? Dear.
What is Jackson Lake's profession before he begins to think he's the
is
Doctor?
A teacher?
No, I pressed the wrong button then. Sorry, listeners. It was, in fact...
It was, yes.
Correct.
I was going to say, yeah.
Sorry. Wait, I was right.
I was expecting, yeah, you, to right. Get, I was expecting you to get it wrong, so I pressed the wrong
button. How that mean?
Sorry. Yes, correct. It was indeed a teacher. Right. Next question goes to Debbie.
Yep.
What part of her name does the Brigadier's daughter drop to avoid accusations of favouritism?
I know.
Well, for God's sake, why has the Brigadier's name just gone right out of my head?
Mm-hmm.
It has completely.
Yeah, that's a shame,
no,
isn't it?
Sorry.
Oh, dear.
No,
so it's,
I can't believe it. That's a no. That's
people
ridiculous.
Shouting at their
yes,
iPods.
I know. I do apologise.
Yes, go on then, Kirby.
God. Lethbridge.
Yes, there you go.
The correct answer. Right. God, Mary.
Yeah. I'm going to go and hit myself.
Enthusiastically waiting for this question, which is, oh dear.
Oh no.
In Remembrance of the Daleks, what has the Seventh Doctor pre-programmed the Hand of Omega to destroy when activated?
Wow.
I know.
Don't know.
See, I told you Kirby's going to win this one.
Kirby.
Scaro.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Kirby.
Master.
On Messaline, the war between the Hath and humans was said to have gone on for generations, but when the Doctor discovered the truth, how long had it actually been since the war started?
Approximately a week.
I'll give you that.
I knew that one. Yeah. Dang it.
Debbie?
Yes?
How many surgical operations has the Lady Cassandra O'Brien had to extend her life?
I want to say 30.
I'll give you, if you're in the vicinity, I'll give you it.
I want to say 34.
You want to say that, do you? No. I want to say it's wrong, right?
It's a lot.
Anybody?
No.
Okay. The answer, you didn't get that one, was 708.
Oh, God, yeah.
So if I said somewhere around the
region, somewhere 34, 708, you know.
Right. Mary.
Yeah.
Douglas Adams was strict. Douglas Adams was script editor. Right. Douglas Adams was script editor on Doctor Who for several years, but what famous science fiction novels did he write?
Oh, I know.
Oh, the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Is correct. I can't believe that Debbie said I know before Kirby. Yes, Kirby.
Well, it was obvious. But yeah, he was only script editor for 1 year, not several.
Does that mean to say because he was only script editor for 1 year that he wasn't ever script editor?
No,
it's just what are you going on about then? Random.
Said several series, seasons.
Be quiet. It was
one season.
I'm reading what the card
said.
Hey,
I've got no points. Hey,
well,
he
wrote stuff across several seasons, but.
Yeah.
He was only script editor for the one.
Thank you.
It was actually not that great a season.
Okay, thank you, Kirby. Next question's for you.
Master.
In Army of Ghosts, a lady called Eileen appeared on which TV talk show discussing her marriage to one of the ghosts?
I have no idea. I can picture the scene. I have no idea.
Okay, does anybody know?
Mm-mm.
Was it Trisha?
Wow. It was Trisha, yes. Right. Debbie.
Yes.
What does Julius Grail, crime kingpin of the 1930s New York, keep chained up behind a curtain in his study?
One of the Weeping Angels.
One of the correct answers. Oh, hang on,
I would assume there's only one correct answer. So why are you referring to multiple answers?
I've just given somebody a point. Made a boo-boo, my point. Mary.
Yeah.
What European city's canals were filled with 10,000 male Saturnians?
Venice.
Correct.
Ah, Venice.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Kirby.
Master.
What farmyard animal did the 11th Doctor claim to owe Casanova?
A chicken.
Yeah.
Master?
Yes.
Why am I not hearing my echo anymore? What'd you do?
Don't know.
I was hearing myself
in my
headphones.
Maybe the internet's catched up with itself. Yeah. Caught up. That's the phrase I was actually looking for. Right, Debbie.
No, I was hearing it from your speakers.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry about that. Right. Debbie.
I'm not now.
Shut up, Debbie.
Yes.
What was the name of the Satellite 5 TV channel that reported the face of Bo's pregnancy?
Bad Wolf.
Correct. Oops. Right. Mary.
Yes?
Which business were Rossiter and Adams working for in The End of Time?
Cybus Industries?
No. Anybody?
Where's that music coming from?
It's Isabella playing her recorder.
Oh.
Right.
It's got a sort of medieval air around
it. What was
it
the
today?
Question? Yeah.
The question was, which businessmen were Rossiter and Adams working for in The End of Time?
Don't know.
Well, it was worth waiting for them, wasn't it? The answer, and he didn't get that one, was Joshua Naismith.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All of us. Oh, yeah.
Right, the scores then at the moment are in last place with 4 points, Mary. In second place with 5 points, Debbie. And in the lead with 8 points, Kirby. Next question goes to Kirby.
For who?
What?
Me. For me.
You.
Okay.
Yes, you.
Master.
Right. Raquel Cassidy played Miranda Cleaves, the foreman at the facility manned by gangers.
Mm.
But what was the name of the BBC sitcom in which she played Jack D's wife?
I have no idea.
No, that's not something. No, I'm definitely not called that. Anybody?
I can't remember. Something.
Go on. You said you nearly said something.
No, I know. Don't worry.
Just say what you were going to say.
I can't remember.
I
can't remember. It's gone.
Okay, well, it was an lead balloon.
Yes.
Right. Next question goes to Debbie.
Yep.
In what Italian city does the Doctor encounter the Sibylline Sisterhood and the group of soothsayers?
English. Pompeii.
Well,
Pompeii.
Well,
that's
correct.
Amy Pond's first incarnation.
Mary.
Yes.
What year was it when the Doctor encountered Jackson Blake and Mercy Hartigan?
I don't know.
No, give it a guess. Go on.
2520.
A terrible guess. Anybody?
Are you
1895.
Pardon, Kirby?
Are you pulling these from your book or from the trivia cards?
I could have pulled them from the book, couldn't I? Yes, no, from the trivia cards.
Well, the thing is, the trivia cards often have multiple choice, don't
they? These don't, though. So what's the answer?
Oh.
1895.
No. Go on, Kirby, have a guess.
I have no idea.
Go on, have a quick guess. It's a guess at the end of the day, isn't it? Go on.
1905. I don't know.
No, it was 1851. Right.
Okay.
Next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
Whereabouts in cars did Luke Rattigan's Atmos devices get fitted in The Poison Sky?
In the exhaust system.
I'll give you that one. It says catalytic converters, but yes, that's
same thing.
It's good enough. Right then, Debbie.
Yes.
When the 10th Doctor meets Gwen Cooper from Torchwood, he refers to one of her ancestors that he met when fighting which alien?
The Gelf.
The correct answer. Right. Mary.
Yes.
What play does the meddling monk suggest that he should get Shakespeare to televise? No, obviously it's going to be.
I read about
it's
this.
It's going
the other
to be a Shakespeare
day.
Play.
Yeah, no,
so
I know. I read about it.
You have,
the other
have
day.
A potential guess. Somebody, you don't know the answer.
Was it Hamlet?
It was.
Yay!
Brilliant. Well done.
I haven't seen that story.
Well, Hamlet, nor
I haven't either. But for some reason, I've heard about that.
Right. Next question goes to Kirby. Oh, we'll do a score check, shall we? Right. In last place, we're 6 points. Is Mary. In second place with 9 points, it's Debbie. And in the lead with 10 points, it's Kirby. Right, next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
Of whom does the First Doctor say, your arrogance is almost as great as your ignorance?
Ian.
Correct. Debbie.
We just did that one a few
weeks ago. Yeah, I know.
Debbie, who did Donna refer to as the fat cat in spats?
Fat cat in spats. I remember her saying it as well. No.
Okay. Anybody?
Nope.
No, didn't get that one. H.C. Clements, her boss. Right, oh. Mary.
Oh, okay. Yes.
In The Poison Sky, what did Atmos stand for?
Oh, my gosh. I don't remember.
Anybody?
Atmospheric something.
Yeah, I mean, that was my thought too with the first word, but.
I'll give you a point for that, Kirby.
Give it to Mary.
She didn't say atmospheric, though, did she?
Well, she was going to.
Yeah.
But she didn't want to.
Well. Give it the answer was atmospheric emission system.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Oh, I thought it was a multiple. More. Yeah, I thought there was a like word for each letter.
Yeah, like TARDIS is.
Okay, right. Kirby.
Master.
What year was President Kennedy assassinated in an event that till
1963
Cecil Ettrick Cruz started must remain a fixed point stated sorry must remain a fixed point in time?
Yes, ask the Americans.
Well, I don't think it's just Americans that would know that one. All right then.
Yes, well, anyone who knows when the first episode of Doctor Who was on,
should
know this. Big connection between
they're both
Kennedy's
important
assassination. Right then,
Very
Debbie.
Yes.
What is the name of the group of Daleks that masterminded the pig slaves in the Dalek and the Dalek hybrids in Manhattan? What were they called?
The Cult of Skaro.
The Cult of the correct answer. Right then. Mary.
Mm-hmm.
What was the Doctor's friend Winston Churchill's middle name?
I know.
Don't remember.
Oh, Kirby knows though.
Spencer.
No, unfortunately, Leonard. His surname was Spencer Churchill. So
his surname was Spencer Churchill. Yeah.
So, unlucky there, Kirby.
Wait, you think you guys know more because you're British?
No, no. Yeah. He was a Spencer, wasn't he?
Right, so the current scores were six questions left.
My wife would have known that one.
Current scores with six questions left. In last place, was creditable at 7 points, is Mary. In second place, with 11 points, is Debbie. And in the lead is Smarty Bounce Kirby with 15. And here, these are the last six. This is Kirby's question. What year did The Weakest Link, that was still airing on the game station many years into the future, first launch on the BBC?
I have no idea.
Well, you have to have a guess when you have no
it's
idea.
A British question.
Year.
I have no idea either,
so what
don't
year
worry.
Was it then, Kirby?
Guess.
2003.
Anybody?
1998.
I'll give the points to whoever gets it nearest.
2000.
Ding!
Spot on. Right, yes, it was the year 2000. Right then, so, Debbie.
Yes.
When Rose causes a wound in time by preventing Pete Taylor's death, mm-hmm. what is the name of the creatures that come to sterilise the wound?
I know.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. I want to say Reapers, but they're not, are they?
Hey.
Is the correct answer.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he goes, hey! Oh, I know the points of that one. Hey. Right then, Mary.
Yeah.
Which supernatural show did Russell Tovey and Lenora Critchlow, who have both been in Doctor Who, star in for several series?
Oh, don't know.
No one in Kirby?
Being Human.
Mm-hmm. Being correct, yes. Right. Debbie. Hang on, no, that's Kirby. Kirby.
Master.
This is your last question. Well, direct question, anyway. And it is, what part of the Corsair was stitched onto Auntie aboard House? I have to be exact
arm.
With this. Yeah, but which one?
Right.
Left.
And Debbie. That's quite funny.
Choices were humorous. That's
quite funny, really, isn't it?
It's brilliant.
Yes. Right, Debbie, this is your question.
Okay, sorry, yes.
Which insect-like girl, aide to Professor Yana, was the last of her race... The
I know.
Malmuth. So what was her name?
I
do you remember?
I can't remember her name, but I remember her going, Chota, and all that sort of thing. Can't remember her
you're
name.
You're so
that's
close.
Terrible.
Yeah. You're almost there.
Come on then, Kirby.
Chanto.
No, oh, there you go.
It's funny if you said, I remember going Chanto.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, you would have gotten it.
Chanto.
Yes.
Right.
Mary, last question.
Yeah.
In Rose, Jackie's friend Ariana sued the council and received £2,000 compensation. Oh. But what did she sue them for?
Oh, I know.
And Debbie knows.
I don't know. Give it to Debbie.
On in,
I
Debbie.
Sued her for looking Greek. Well, she is Greek, but yeah, yes. That's beside the point.
The answer. Right. So the final scores are, with a creditable 9 points in last place, Mary in second place with 15 points, Debbie only just missing out, and the winner this week, Smarty Pants Kirby, with 17 points.
And there was great rejoicing.
I do better with the general questions like that than the specifics.
Do you? Well, you won the quiz last week and the week before, but so that doesn't quite...
No.
Well, and especially questions that involve British TV shows and British historical events.
Yes, indeed.
At ConGT, I'm going to be helping present the trivia contest. I will not be competing in the trivia contest.
Right, so you're not going to use my book as a good way of plugging it to actually do the questions?
Well, don't let you in on the on the competition.
I can suggest it to Eddie, who will be the actual MC.
Okay. Right, we're going to look at a little bit of news. There doesn't seem to be that much news, actually, Debbie, although I mean, I could really go back a couple of weeks. What did we do it last week? I can't remember.
There's music going through my
head.
It's gone very medieval on the Isle of Wight today.
Right. Essential Book K9. That's going back the 20th of January, so I don't remember mentioning that last week.
They raised a campaign to progress to raise funds to publish a new book about the Doctor's second best friend.
Oh, yeah, we talked about the William Hartnell interview that's been found. Mm. Yes, we did talk about that.
I want that Lego.
And the Doctor Who Lego as well.
Tom's already saving, well. Bless him.
And, of course, the eyebrows.
Yes.
Yeah. Hair's a bit big, isn't it?
But it's typical Lego helmet hair, isn't it? Yes.
The Doctor Who magazine is out and...
Hello.
It's got Marco Polo on it, look.
No, that's a mummy.
No, look, up there, Marco Polo. We uncover the original script notes of the long-lost classic
adventure.
Did you
get to see the extras, by the way, on Dailymotion?
No, I didn't.
You should do. It's really good. It's got Mark Eden extending the story, and then Mark Eden doing a little...
the intro
talking
bit.
About the, no, well, yeah, is that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Afterwards, there's a talk about the real story of Marco Polo. It's really, really good. They're on my Dailymotion, dear.
Dailymotion.
Yes. Doctor Who comic to launch in the UK. I think we talked about that last week. What else we got here? 11th Doctor 8. So next Wednesday sees a release of Doctor Who 11th Doctor 8. That would be around about now, or tomorrow even. Archive interviews on DVD with Tom Baker and Anthony Ainley. Available from Galaxy 4. Big Finish announced new series Unit spin-off, which... features Kate Stewart.
Yes, I saw that.
It's interesting. That's the first time they've actually done something that features current Doctor Who. So maybe that's going to bridge the gap at some point.
Then you've got the figure showing the Live Plus 7 performance of the Doctor Who.
Deep Breath's obviously going to be the one that's going to get the most viewers simply because it was new, wasn't it?
The Moon had the lead. Did it? No, listen.
Last Christmas, I should say.
Listen had
I'm
the
listening.
Lead. No, that was one of the better ones.
So, but they're more or less the same, aren't they, mostly? Yeah. So you're looking at an average of about 7 to 8 million viewers, which in this day and age, with so many channels, is actually very, very good. And doesn't include worldwide viewing either, does it?
No.
Doctor Who Comics at London Comic Con. Titan Comics are set for
she's
a full
Doctor Who
takeover at London Super Comic Con on the 14th and 15th. Block 2 gets underway for Doctor Who filming. Oh, forgot to mention David Tennant got an achievement award, didn't he?
Yes,
National Television Awards. So Doctor Who didn't win because you lot didn't vote for it, basically. That's essentially why.
It's our fault, is it? Oh, dear.
Well, no, not you, I mean listeners. Listeners and fans of Doctor Who.
This Easter, a college in Manchester is offering a crash course in the history of Doctor Who.
Oh, yes.
We're teaching an 11-week evening course. Well, that'd be good. If they did that long distance, I'd be up for that.
Right, so the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, and people have. I didn't mention this last week or the week before. People have, in fact, joined the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which
I
you can join.
I do shamelessly plug it on my little Facebook page.
And does it have any effect?
It seems to be.
Does it? Okay. If you say so. Right then, see if I can go back. I remember mentioning Matthew McGuinness because I added him. I'm quite interested to note he hasn't left yet. okay, and Anita Kirkbright got mentioned. I remember her being mentioned. I don't remember Den Palmer being mentioned, so I'm going to mention that now. Yes, Den Palmer, Simon Meddings. Simon Meddings.
That's him gone then.
Yeah, sorry, Simon.
Sorry, Simon.
Paul Carstens, Martin Livesey.
Livesley. Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you. Eric Anderson.
Candace. Yeah.
Lavin and Michael Ferguson.
Ferguson.
Yes. So, welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook.
Welcome to the show.
If you'd like to add yourself to our vast array of feedback contributors, you can do that by sending your emails into 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. And, of course, audio works really good on audio presentations. But Debbie can read, fortunately. So if you want it to be an email, Debbie will try and do her best impression of you, as long as you mention in an email what part of the country or world, indeed, you come from.
Okay. Yes.
She's very good at accents, aren't you? Specifically Doncaster ones.
Doncaster. That's where I'm from. People still don't believe me.
So, have anything else? Any other business?
Are we not supposed to mention...
Oh, she wants to mention the blooming sponsors.
Of course I do.
I went there the other day.
I ended up not going into Ride that day I was going to go in.
Yeah, I've got a present for you.
Another one?
Well, that's just a random one. I don't know what's in this one, but you're going to get. Whatever's in this particular Doctor Who micro figures box is yours, unless it happens to be a figure I wanted to keep.
Oh, wow.
So good luck with that.
Audio live. Hang on.
Audio live. Come on.
Picture.
So what have you got then?
I have got...
Yes.
12.
No, you got one. I gave you one. But what figure have you got?
I got Peter Capaldi.
You got Peter Capaldi, the 12th Doctor.
Take a picture of her holding it.
Hang on, I have to build him first. look, he's in bits. Bless him.
What, is he upset?
Oh, there's his little thing.
Is he upset? You said he's in bits.
He's in bits. He's completely devastated on my hand there. But...
So is it 12 or is it 1?
It's 12.
No. So you wouldn't get... is a series 4, which is specifically the last... series of Doctor Who.
Look at his eyebrows, they're hysterical, recent... bless him.
It's gone square.
There's a picture going on. Hang on. Hold your blooming screwdriver, you.
Do you want me to do it?
No, I've got it. There we go. No, I haven't got it. I don't got it. There we go.
Fantastic audio. Right.
Got it in the wrong hand. There you go.
Oh, I've got to come in for a close up. An extreme close up. Hang on, he's out of focus. I'll do another one. There you go.
I've got him in the wrong hand. Got his thing in the wrong hand. Click.
Yeah, click right there.
Take a pick.
Right, 20 megabytes. Doctor Who podcast, Facebook group.
Oh, I'm not wearing any makeup. How appalling.
No, I think that's good.
Thank you, Adam.
Right.
I'll put him on his plinth. There we go.
I wanted to keep that one too.
Do you want this one? You can have that one.
Right. On whoon.co.uk, they have actually got some new items.
Is that whoon.co.uk?
Whoon.co.uk.
Sure,
I like the rucksack. Yeah. That is pretty cool.
Well, the Cyberman retro bag at £22.99. It's really cool. Actually, an orange thing with delete. And some Cyberman sort of... I can't work out. I think they're the new version of Cyberman, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
TARDIS rucksack, as Debbie mentioned, £22.99. Very cool. TARDIS coasters... A set off for $19.99.
And they
get
build
eight?
Them. Yeah, they build them.
Ceramic then. TARDIS door inspired coasters. Basically, if you put all the coasters together, they create the sort of TARDIS door, but obviously they're split up into certain... Quite clever idea, really.
Yeah, I like that.
Very original. A sonic screwdriver bottle opener at $8.99. That's really cool. Dalek line tracker. Draw a line and watch the Dalek follow it using infrared sensors. That's a cool.
Sounds very
Star strange. Time to bring these out after Christmas, but yes, that's $19.99.
It's like being on Scaro, isn't it? Yeah.
Yep. TARDIS tin sign. It's an A3 tin sign featuring the TARDIS.
Put it on your door.
Yeah, it's really cool, and it's made of tin. So all these items available at whoone.co.uk. And I'm very grateful to Nick for actually putting some new stuff on the website for me to look at.
Does it still have the wrong address for it?
Yes, it does.
Yes, yeah.
That's why I mentioned 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Take no notice of the Who one has our old email address on it.
Have you considered having
I haven't had time. I've been I spent all day yesterday updating my business website.
It's right next door.
Hey, shut up. 8 hours it took me to update all my business websites. That's APV services, so who get a mention at the beginning of every single podcast. And if you want to have your wedding filmed by myself and happen to live in this country, or you want to pay for me to go over to America to film your wedding, and Debbie for that matter.
No, pay for us to go.
Alpha Debbie, who is my co-videographer. If you want photography, I should go. I'm quite happy to go anywhere as long as people pay me the right amount of money. And I will post a link to APV services at some point on the 20 megabyte group, because it is...
I thought you did.
Not for a long time. Anyway, so that's essentially it. Right, next time we're going to record, I'm thinking it's likely to be a Sunday. What do you think, Debbie?
Sunday's good for me.
Because we're going to be watching the Aztecs. It's only four parts.
Yes, I know.
But it's
already
so
nearly
good.
Finished.
Yeah, and it's
that's a review on Aztecs done. Let's move on to the next one.
It's brilliant.
We haven't. I was checking. Apparently we haven't done this one. So.
We haven't done Aztecs. Good. Okay, we'll do Aztecs then.
Oh,
so,
no.
Well, yeah, we'd do it even if we had done
triple
it.
Triple chins.
We had done it. Yes.
I, I'm not sure. Let me.
Debbie's trying to make out she's got triple chins. And if you want to see if she's got triple chins, join the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. There you go. Right, so that's it. Next Sunday, I'll just check I'm not doing anything next Sunday before I commit myself.
Better check. Yeah, you'd better check. I'm free.
Von Inman has just entered the building. Right, so where are
There's
we today?
We're on
the
on there.
17th. Now, Gem's bridal show, but that doesn't affect the evening.
No.
So yes,
Sunday.
We have not done the Aztecs.
No, we haven't.
That's going to be good.
Wow.
Ooh. Yes.
So that's it. Next week, Aztecs. Thank you for listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Isabella!
Silence in the library.
Isabella! Come in here.
Yes. I have a plan for that young lady.
Here she is. All right, come here. We're going to see.
We've got 2 weeks.
Challenge you to do something live on the show. Shut the door. What? Right, go and get your recorder.
We're going to be going for like 2 months without needing to watch Reconstruction.
I know.
That's excellent. True. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the Reconstruction. So I really haven't watched any of them. So for me, it's something new and exciting.
Yeah. Well, we don't have a Reconstruction until the Crusade.
Hello.
Yes, hang on.
Oh, I like your recording.
Right, then, what we're going to do, I'm going to see if I can find some interesting...
I said when we do Reign of Terror, we're going to see comic book.
Right, an animation.
But at least
there is a DVD available. Did I own?
Doctor Who music.
Yeah, I'm looking for some actual music for you to read and play out. You shouldn't have said Doctor Music. You've already let the cat out of the bag.
Sorry. Right sheet.
Oh, sheet music. No need to swear. If it was a Doctor Who sheet music, it would be music by Kev McCulloch. Yes. Oh,
there we go. All
right, there we go. Let's see what we've got here. Okay, see if you can play
that's
this.
Piano.
That's piano.
I need a recorder.
I know you do. I'm just trying to see if there's anything that could...
That's... No.
That's... Oh, what else we got? It must be something a bit... Ah, what's this here? Witch Doctor? That's not Doctor Who, is it?
Witch Doctor.
Witch Doctor.
What's
this here? Doctor Witch.
Ah, that'll do,
there
won't
you
it?
Go. No, too high.
Too
that's
high?
That's very high music. Yeah. That's not for recorder.
Okay, shall we find something it is? About that
yes.
one?
That's better. Yeah, that's better. You can read that.
Is it too small?
Too small, yes.
Hang on. That's as big as I can get it.
Can you get up, read those, yeah?
I think I can.
Okay, go for it.
There we go.
That is a very high pitch.
Saying it's good for recorder. You're in C.
On,
okay.
Moderately fast.
I got to try and get the high pitch, let you know.
Let's try this bit here. Try the bit down the bottom.
Try the bit down there. That's a lot easier. Just at least that bit there.
Okay.
That's all right. You've done really well.
You're making the dog bark.
I tell you what, I'll translate it for you to get it.
I'll work on it
over the week.
That was a really on-the-spot thing. So thank you for that.
I'll tell you what. I'll convert that into recording music, and then you can then you'll be able to play it.
It's just too hard.
You shall be upgraded.
Yeah.
Mary's just going. Is it finished yet?
Yeah. No. Thank you.
All right, hang on. I know there's one here somewhere. Don't go.
Comment.
I need you to do something. Yes, thank you, Isabella. Go off in the corner a minute while I'm looking through this to play something you do know.
Jingle
well, I've got a couple of things I need to do before.
Yeah, well, hang on. Okay. Right, here we go. No,
you've got to come and read this.
Come and read this now. Right, here we go. Okay. Right, best broadcasting voice into the microphone as you go. Go on then.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.
Very good, Hermione Granger. Very good.
Play us out in the corner of the tune. Right, thanks everybody. Looking forward to next week. Hopefully, yes, we won't get ill because me and Alpha Debbie are going for a night in a hotel on Friday.
Oh, yes, yeah, enjoy.
So if I'm ill, turn the microphone around. If I'm ill for that, it'll be a bit of a dance with the weekend. It will be a major letdown considering I was ill last time we went for a night in a hotel together.
Oh, yes, yeah.
But there's loads of people coughing, spluttering all over me at the moment, including that little girl in the corner. So it's likely that I will be ill at the end of the week. So next Sunday, Aztecs. See you again next week. Hopefully you'll be here. Hopefully Reese might turn up. Hopefully we'll have Andy on the show, Kirby and Mary. And hope you're not on call next week, are you, Mary?
Yes.
Oh, for goodness sake. Might not have Mary next week.
Oh, you'll have me, yes.
Oh, we will.
Well, I'll be there.
Unless you could call in.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye. Very medieval.